passion to lead. This is a call that God has given us as men. It's a mandate from God. It's great to be a man, but with that greatness comes responsibility. The biggest problem we're going to face, men, in this whole journey is rejecting our passivity. You see, passivity leads us down the easy path, the wide path. We refuse to do what God intended us to do. And we've got to get out of that rut and begin to step up and lead like God calls us to lead. What I'm excited about in this journey is God is going to reveal to you, man, the areas that you need to address, not only in the relationship with your wife, but in the relationship with God, in the relationship with your family, in the relationship in your workplace. There are places that God wants you to make change. And you know what the biggest change God is calling us to do in leading? We need to stop thinking about what people think, and we need to focus on how big God is and how small people are. As you've been spending time in God's Word, I hope it's given you a bigger perspective of God. I hope that you are now learning to fear the Lord. Because when our leadership is evaluated, it will be evaluated on that basis. Did we love God more than people? Lead and lead with courage. The topic that I'm going to talk about tonight, man, is a serious topic. I don't mean to hit you, but I just mean to tell you and me that we are facing the biggest mountain in CTL. We've been looking at some mountains up till now, but tonight's mountain is huge. Let's open in prayer, shall we? Father, thank you that nothing is impossible with God. And Lord, that when you looked down on man and you called us, you also equipped us. And you gave us everything necessary to be the leaders, to fulfill your purpose in the life of our marriage and our families. I pray that tonight's session would waken us up as men, and we would embrace the battle that seems to be huge, one baby step at a time, knowing that you walk with us. So God, I pray that you would be glorified and we would learn how to lead as you've called and commissioned us to lead. In Jesus' name, amen. I used to work with the Slavics. I'm not sure if this is an older Slavic couple. As you look at them in the picture there, you can see they're not real happy after all these years of marriage. It says a man had an ever-nagging wife. They went on vacation to Jerusalem. While they were there, the wife passed away, and the undertaker told the husband, "You can have her shipped home for $5,000, or you can bury her here in the Holy Land for $150." The man thought about it and told him he would just have her shipped home. The undertaker asked, "Why would you spend $5,000 to ship your wife home when it would be wonderful to be buried here and you would only spend $150?" The man replied, "Long ago a man died here, was buried here, and 3 days later he rose from the dead. I just can't take that chance." In all seriousness, man, I hope if that was a picture of Steve and Kathy at that age, my arm would be around her and you'd see two people smiling. There's nothing that brings me more joy than seeing old people in love. Our greatest battle is what we're going to talk about tonight. I used to think it was trying to get men in the Word of God, trying to get men to walk in moral purity, trying to get men to walk in integrity. You know what I'm convinced our greatest struggle is, men? It's with passivity. We reject God's call on our life, and we're lazy. It's like when the alarm goes off on a cold winter morning, and you don't want to jump out of bed. You just think, roll over. When you see problems, you just want to look the other way. They'll go away, won't they? That's our issue as men. And I suggest that passivity is our greatest struggle, and it's because of our pride. It's because of our relationship to God. And it goes to this, man. We got big people and a small God. When God is big, then problems aren't big.
They're there, and we're going to do what God wants, and it doesn't matter who it is or what it is, we're going to get up and do it. I want you to know that what we're talking about, you only have to look at marriage and look at our culture today. You only have to look and see that Satan has unleashed everything on the family. One out of two children in America today are raised in a single-parent home. America is cursed. We can't survive. Family is the core unit. And what makes a strong family? Marriage. What makes a strong marriage? A man leading like God intended him. And God set some rules up. And you know what? The world hates God's rules. And the world always wants to tell you there's a better way. But I tell you what, the God that designed you and me knew the best way, and He told us the way it's supposed to be. Look at His scripture. I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. God gives us as men a clear biblical mandate in leadership and who is responsible to lead. The more responsibility God gives you, the more He will hold you responsible in the last day and at the judgment. When it comes to your family and your marriage, man, the responsibility falls on you whether you like it or not. That's the way God designed it. I believe that if we are faithful in the little things, then God will bless us with more. One of the blessings of getting your wife on the team and being one with your wife, one of the greatest blessings is your family becomes one. An effective family starts with an effective husband-wife relationship. God establishes clear lines of authority so that we can experience orderliness, peace, protection, not confusion and chaos. You know, our culture wants to paint everything that God does as negative. I want to tell you, without authority in our life, without policemen on the streets, you and I wouldn't drive like we do and enjoy what we do on the roads. In fact, many of us would choose to do something different tomorrow if the policemen went on strike. The kids would say, boy, I'd love to go to school without any teachers and principals. After 40 minutes of that, they'd be screaming for them to come back. How about we say to the NBA, authority is stupid. Call your own game. We don't need officials. How long would that last? Every shot that a guy makes in the NBA, if he misses it, he got fouled. I mean, we need authority. God designed authority, and all authority has been established by God for what? Our good. God did that in the marriage institution too. Listen to this. It's very important that you hear this. We don't want to talk about roles of men and women. It's kind of one of those things. Don't discuss. I tell you what, God discusses it. He sets it very clearly. And here's where the enemy has come in with confusion. When I speak of authority, I speak of function and purpose in life, not value. If we had women in this room tonight, God does not look down and go, I value those men more than the women. God doesn't look down at the school and go, guess who's of most value to me? The principal. I tell you, the custodian has just as much value. That student in the classroom has just as much value. But for that school to operate like God intended it, all of them have the same value, but God has given each one a different function. And in your marriage, God values your wife as much as you, but He's given us a different function. And the enemy would like to not communicate that. And so that's important when we talk about this subject. The heart and life of Jesus is a living example of how this works. What did Jesus do? He came down here and submitted Himself to His Father. Wow, what an example. The word submit seems to be a curse. God's ways are a blessing. The young woman that has learned to submit to her husband has learned the true meaning of what God intended for her, and will find tremendous blessings. We as men have been called to serve and protect our wives. A great husband knows how to be a servant. I like old school and new school. If I was teaching CTL 25 years ago, I would have needed to talk to men more about loving their wives. more about serving their wives, because we had a bunch of authoritarian dictators. And these men just said, I'm the boss, do what I say. Today, the pendulum has swung to the new school, where the feminist movement, the media, and women have made a disgrace out of a man, and a man's problem today is, his problem is not authoritarian. His problem is, yes, honey, no matter what. Yes, dear. Even when dearie is wrong, it's yes, honey. And we're talking about servanthood begins with submission, but it also means standing for the things that are right. Now, men, I want you to know something. Some of you tonight would say to me, I wish my wife would submit to me. You know what I think is convicting about tonight's topic, man? Anytime we look at leadership, you know where we got to look? Bingo. Right here. That's what's painful. When my children aren't responsible, that's a reflection of who I am. When I look at my wife, it's a reflection of who I am. You want to know what? If your wife isn't submissive, I want to ask you this tonight. How submissive are you to God? I believe there's a key correlation between the way you submit to God and the way your wife submits to you. I want you to ask yourself, how am I doing submitting to the authority of God's Word? How do I role model that in my life? Oh yeah, we want our wife to fall in line and submit to us. How are we doing with God? With authority comes responsibility. Being a spiritual leader, man, we need to encourage our wives through the Word of God. It says we strengthen them through the Word in Ephesians. This is done by engrafting the pure Word into our hearts. Jesus affirmed that when He prayed in John 17:19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, and they also might be sanctified through truth. If Jesus sanctified Himself through the truth for our sakes, how much more should we do it to those who are under our spiritual care? It goes back to that passion for God and us being men that are purifying ourselves so that we can sanctify our wives and our family. You know, if you want to talk about leadership, no matter how you cut it out there, you got to evaluate leadership. And I said, you know what? If I said to men tonight, how you doing leading? I think a lot of men on a scale of 1 to 10, how you doing? Hey, Steve, I'm a 9. I'm an 8. And I always said, you know what? I don't want to just hypothetically, how can we look and say, how am I doing leading? You know what I said? You know who we're talking about leading tonight? We're not talking about our family yet. We're still on our wife. How are we leading our wife? I said, God, I want something that's concrete that says, Steve Altmaier, look at this and it'll tell you how you're leading your wife. Where are we going to go, man? God's Word. We're going to go to God's Word and see what God's Word says a wife looks like. And if that's what my wife is like, then I am effectively being the spiritual leader that God has called me. If it isn't, then I need to ask myself why. And what do I need to change? On page 81 in your books, there's a saying by Sproul there, after marriage, the biggest single influence on the development of the wife's personality and character is the husband. When a man comes to me and complains that his wife has changed since they got married, I immediately respond, who do you suppose changed her? In a sense, the wife a man has is the wife he has produced. If he has a monster, maybe he ought to examine himself and his own nature. That's pretty hard words. I quote R.C. Sproul. So you can get mad at him. As a basketball coach, in that locker room, in that mirror, I found a lot of times when I would really get upset with my team, I had to stop and ask, you're upset tonight because they're not blocking out. When's the last time you worked on blocking out? You're upset because they're missing free throws. When's the last time you had them shooting free throws and putting pressure on them? What coach have you done to prepare them? Quit looking at the team. Look in the mirror. You're the leader of this ship. You know, man, this is painful tonight. Because you don't know what really happened? We went into marriage being passive. She was the leader. She's the one that said, what do you want to do tonight? And she planned it all. And you thought, this is neat. She's the one that said, let's pray before you eat. She's the one that took the initiative. Her mother role modeled from her mother being the leader in the home, calling all the shots. And now you wake up today and go, well, Steve, that's what I married. No, you married that because you were passive. You weren't the man that God wanted you to be. And now you got something maybe, but you know what? What are you going to do with that? And I want to look at what God's Word says our wives should look like. And men, this is the question. This is a standard by God's Word, not Steve Altmaier's, not CTL's. This is God's Word. This is what God says the older women are to teach the younger women. This is a crisis in our church today. So I go down this list. It's hard to find older women that have lived this out. You know, women want to do so many things. I wish the older women would get excited and teach the younger women what they need to know. And this is what a younger woman needs to know. Number one, ask yourself these questions when evaluating your wife. Does my wife live a lifestyle in which her behavior and dress reflects God's holiness? Does my wife control her tongue, or am I always putting out fires from her gossip? Is my wife given to wine? Do I respect and value the wisdom and sound mind that my wife adds to our marriage? Is my wife's love for me unconditional, not wavering, and her speech about me demonstrates that she values and believes in me? One of the smartest things I ever did as a man was send my wife to Bible studies in our younger years of marriage. My wife would come home, and I was the hero of all heroes. Because all those women did at those Bible studies was blast their husbands and tell the other women what a terrible leader he was, how he wasn't interested in spiritual things. I tell you, men, my wife speaks with women all the time. She'll address your wife. You know what? I've never even entered my mind. I'm not a perfect man, but I guarantee you one thing. My wife has never said anything ill of me. And my wife lays down boundaries with other wives and says, I don't want to hear ill things about your husband. That's not why we're here. She could say the same thing about me. In the 26 years of marriage, nobody has heard me say anything bad about my wife. You know, when I look at these other character qualities about dress and modesty, so many times we look at the pastor and go, Pastor, preach a message on modesty. I can't believe it. The way these women are dressing when they come to church. You know who's responsible for the way your wife dresses? You are. Not the pastor, not the church. You know what? I go to church to enter into the gates of glory, into the place of the Holy of Holies, and is certainly disappointed when I go from the throne room of heaven to the pit of hell when I look over at a guy's wife who's half-dressed. You know who I'm going to go to? I'm going to go to him. I'm going to ask him, would you pray about the way your wife's dressing? It's a real stumbling block. I'm responsible for the way my wife dresses, and guess what? My three daughters know how to dress modest because my wife is modest. And that's our responsibility as men, to teach and train our wife. It's our responsibility when our wife's tongue is in trouble to do that. Let's continue with this list. Is my wife more concerned about our children than her career or self? You might say, Steve, you're reading this there. You're saying some of them twice. I'm just copying the Bible. The Bible said them twice. Why do you think it said them twice, guys? I'm a slow learner. You're a slow learner. He wants to make sure we get these points. Wife's tongue, wife's modesty, and a wife's occupation. Man, our job is to protect our wives. Some of us have allowed our wives to go to a workplace that they have no business being in there. And we've lost our marriages. The greatest place for a wife is the home. It's God's best. Does my wife have security and satisfaction in being a keeper of our home? Does my wife demonstrate discretion in the choice of her words and dress? There they are again. And does my wife demonstrate submissiveness of heart, and is she easy to lead? Man, I'm going to ask you to really look at that, because that's the test line. That's the plumb line. When we evaluate our leadership, that's where it really is. And I'm going to say this, man. Some of you are going to do that evaluation and ask God and say, well, I see the problem. Then you need to address it. You need to reject the passivity and address it. I think of a pastor who was leading a church. And as he was driving to church after 3 months of marriage, he realized that everything was going his wife's way and she was in total control. Here he was, this great leader of the church. He said, I better do something or this marriage is going to be in trouble. He said, Steve, the next 6 months, all hell broke loose, but it's the best 6 months of our marriage. We set the proper boundaries. That man today is quoted in your coach's corner. He said this, intimidated men produce frustrated women. I'm going to say it again. Intimidated men produce frustrated women. Because your wife knows when her tongue is out of control. She knows when she's doing what's wrong. And when you don't deal with that, she loses respect for you. So that's our challenge. Why don't we lead men? I want to look at some things that have caused this. First of all, the status of our own spiritual life is weak. You know what? We don't lead when we don't have a passion for God. And many women are spiritually ahead of us and we're intimidated. And I'm going to tell you what, some of you will never catch your wife spiritually. She doesn't want you to catch her. What she wants to see is a man that's spending time in the Word instead of TV and football. You'll gain her respect by just choosing to be a man after God's Word. By choosing to be a man of consistency. And I want to say something. I really believe the fact that you're making a commitment to be involved in a ministry like this is showing your wife that you care more about being a spiritual leader than sitting around home and hanging out, watching TV and football games. It's a good start, man. And one of those problems is we've got to take leadership and show our wives this is our priority. Two, our fathers failed to role model true biblical leadership. We're in a crisis. Many of us as men do not know how to lead because our dad doesn't know how to lead. And I'm going to tell you, some of us have been resentful and unforgiving for the lack of leadership and spiritual training we received from our father. Some of you, that bitterness and anger toward your father is causing you to repeat the same thing. The only way the cycle is broken is understand this. Your dad's dad did the same thing. He didn't know what to do. And if you don't forgive your dad, you'll just become like your dad. And we got a generation that's growing up with divorced. I think of a friend of mine, grew up with no father around. He said, one thing is not going to happen to me. I will never leave my children, and I'll never have a divorce. 6 months ago, his wife divorced him. I'm seeing more divorces in this next generation than the last generation, and I believe it's largely due to the fact that we haven't forgiven. We've been bitter, and the cycle repeats. And God gives healing when we forgive. And I know, men, as I talk to you tonight, many of you can look out there, and you can see many things that your dad did wrong. I'm going to challenge you tonight, if you've never forgiven your dad, you're going to repeat it. And I'm not a perfect father. And I've made mistakes with my children. And I'm humbly going to them and asking them to forgive me. And I'm telling them the mistakes I've made so they don't repeat it. And you older guys here, this is what CTL is about. We're not perfect parents. We've failed. We're not perfect husbands. We've failed. We can help this younger generation from our mistakes. Amen? We can help them. Get rid of the pride. Quit acting like everything's perfect. It's not. So we didn't have role models. My dad's dad was an atheist. Was an angry man that never spoke the words, I love you, to my dad. Oh, he was really something out there in the world. He had over 20,000 people under him. You know what he was? A caretaker of a cemetery. What I'm trying to tell you tonight, man, is this. My dad grew up with a terrible heritage. But by the grace of God, my dad came to know Jesus Christ. And that began to change. And today he has 5 boys that love the Lord. And I believe that all of us are going to be better parents and fathers than my dad. But my mom used to tell me when dad did some things that were not right. If you only knew your grandfather, you'd know. Wise woman, my mom planting that seed. And some of you guys tonight, I pray that you'll deal with that. The next thing is the spiritual battle started in the garden. I'm going to tell you what, nothing new under the sun. Adam and Eve in the garden. Guess what Adam's problem is? Mr. Passive. I kind of think he was there watching her pick the fruit. In fact, I'm even willing to say that he's probably down on all fours and she's standing on his back reaching up for the apple. Mr. Passive. Satan comes to her and says, you know what? Adam and God got this special relationship. Eve, you're kind of out of the picture. If you eat of this tree, you will become knowledgeable and just like them. What is women trying to strive for? Leadership, leadership. What's a man doing? Go ahead, go ahead. And you know what happened there in that garden, men? God Almighty wasn't happy with that picture. And He cursed man and said, you will work from the sweat of your brow. And He cursed woman and He said, you will have pain in child labor. And you will come under your husband. Now I share that, men, all the time. And if you're alert tonight, what I shared was not true and not biblical. God did not curse man and He did not curse woman. He cursed the ground and the serpent. He punished man and He punished woman. And God Almighty is the greatest architect. And He whom He loves, He what? Punishes. And you know what our problem is today? You show me a man who isn't working and he's miserable. Work is a good thing. You show me a woman that isn't submitting to her husband and she's miserable. They're not coming under God's authority and they're not doing what God intended. That discipline was for our good. My wife is going to be here to encourage your wife of how beautiful God designed that and how beautiful it is a woman can take the power of influence and cause her husband to be a great leader. If she'll learn to use that influence the way God intended it. So this battle started way back in the garden. And man, I'm going to tell you what, I go to schools, I worked in the education system. I watch all the boys, the girls mature quicker. They step up to leadership, the guys are just a bunch of clowns dinging around. And then comes senior year and they go, hey Joe, I want to be president, nominate me. Man, that class couldn't have functioned with Joe and Fred in the back row. They don't even know who's in the class. So they say, hey, Joe, nominate me. Oh, you know what the girls do. Yeah, Joe, come on up and be president. You kidding me? They've worked the last 4 years raising money for the senior trip and keeping the class together. Some of us men are going, you know what, it's time for me to step up and lead this family. Your wife's been wearing the pants. She's not ready to step aside. She's not ready. We've been asleep. And when we wake up, we got to really say, God, now you called me to lead. How do I address this? What do I do? I see I'm supposed to be leading. Well, the first thing you do, man, you ask forgiveness. I don't know about you, but I've made lots of mistakes. Humility is the path to victory. If I were in my family and I was sitting there one day and all of a sudden the light bulbs clicked on, I'm watching my children show disrespect to my wife, I go, man, this is dishonoring to God's word. What have I allowed in my home? I ought to bring my family together and say, hey, God has shown me what is happening in this family is wrong. It dishonors Him, and I'm to blame. I've allowed it. In fact, I've participated in it. I've shown disrespect toward your mother, and not only have I shown disrespect, I've allowed you to do that. And I'm asking you to forgive me. But from now on, we're going to do in this house what honors God. And we're going to respect your mother. And if you don't, this is what's going to happen. And if I don't, this is what's going to happen. Men, the same boundaries are in our wife's relationship. Honey, I gave you some responsibility that God intended me. Now, I don't know how to handle that responsibility. But I see that it's my responsibility. And I'm asking you to forgive me. And I want you to help me. Learn how to take that over because it's caused a lot of problems in our marriage and it's caused you problems in me and I want to lead like God intended, but I'm going to need your help to learn how to do it. Men, it's asking God and humbling ourselves, admitting our failure because of our passivity and stepping up and leading. The other reason we don't lead is not only because it's a spiritual battle, but because our culture, it screams all the time. Feminists, the movement. I look and I go to open a door for a woman. Some look at me like, what are you doing? Man, during my lifetime, do you realize the change that's happened in my lifetime? In my younger years, it wouldn't have been considered some woman running for the president of the United States of America. They wouldn't have gotten a third of the votes or a fifth. And today, it's kind of like if we don't get a woman on a ticket, we can't get in. When I was young, there were few divorces. The men were leaving the home. You know what's happened today? More women are leaving than men. When I was young, a woman would have never thought about joining the military and fighting for a country. That was a man's responsibility to fight for his country. I see women doing lifting heavy objects, doing jobs that a man should be doing. We've lost perspective. God has made us different. And a woman that understands God's call, God's role, is a woman that will be fulfilled. When she tries to find that fulfillment the way the world says, it is hell on earth. They want identity, man, so they go into the career world. So we don't have children. And at 50 years of age, they've invested their whole life in a career. And they lose their job. And they have nothing. Oh, what a foolish woman that invested her whole life in her children. You know, I've never seen a Christmas card that showed pictures of the RV down in Arizona and the house and everything. It's always Christmas letters about the what? Children. We wake up too late when they're gone. But, and I'll never forget driving down the road. My boys like big trucks. And there's this truck with these big tires. And I'm looking at it. And next minute I look and there's a woman driving it. So I like to observe and I'm thinking, that's not usually what a woman drives. This is kind of interesting. Pull up behind it and get a little closer. She's got red hair. Now, I'm not saying anything about redheads, but she was a redhead. My twin brother's married to a redhead, so I'll be real careful. I looked and I thought, I wonder what it would be like to marry to this woman. And there on the bumper is an icon. And it's an icon of a little boy peeing. And he's peeing and it says, ex-husband. You know what, guys? There might have been a guy in the truck. He was probably down in the corner in the floor going like this. Where are we going, honey? And yet tonight, man, I can tell you why that woman is like that. Let's go look at her father. He probably physically abused her, verbally abused her, and there's much hurt and pain and damage. And you've been around it. You raise your voice just a little about around a woman, and she's going berserk. It's reminding her of a dad that did nothing but yell at her. You know, there's a lot of scars out there in the world, and when I see a woman react the way they do, I don't know their background. My heart goes out because, you know what? They're missing the joy of what womanhood is about. They don't know Christ. And the sad thing is, man, there's many Christian women that know Christ, and they're missing the joy because we refuse to lead. Then the last thing that I want to touch on that is why we don't lead is because leadership requires dealing with conflict. Men, this is big. This is huge. I know guys, they've come up to me and said, Steve, these are leaders of great big groups of people. Their wives are great leaders. They said, I'd give anything to have her respect and honor me and submit to me. I'd give up that whole church. I'd give up that whole company because the only thing I want out of all the people in this world that I want to honor and respect me, it's my wife. I'd do anything to have that. What you care and desire more than anything else is to be respected by your wife. What your wife desires and cares about more than anything else is to be loved by you. And I really believe, man, if we love our wives like Christ loves the church, that battle can easily be won. But I believe this. Your wife needs boundaries. We all need boundaries. Steve Altmaier needs them. And I respect those people that step into my life and say, that wasn't right. I have lots of respect for those people. And I want to tell you that this is dear to my heart because just in the past year, over 5 marriages of people that are real close to me, they've lost their wives. Their wives have left them. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the husband was unwilling to confront his wife when she was wrong. His rule was, make her happy no matter what. And she controlled him from the first day of marriage till the end. If we're going to eat here at this restaurant or yours, if you went to yours, she's going to make your night miserable. So let's face it, guys, we don't want a miserable night. We'll go wherever you want, honey. You know, I really love to have an intimate sexual relationship. Well, I'll determine when we have it. I'll control you with that. Forget the idea that says, God says my body is yours and her body is mine. I'm going to control you with that. And I'm looking at men and their wife. They get so out of control. And one of the areas that they're completely out of control is their mama bear. And when little cub bear makes a mistake, and the principal bear at the school, me, brings little cub bear in and disciplines him, and everybody in the school says, little cubby needs a SWAT. Mama bear is embarrassed what little cubby's done. And she comes in ratting and raving that the school is wrong, that you're wrong. And guess who's sitting next to mama bear? Papa bear. Papa ain't no dummy. He knows that cub bear did what was wrong. It's obvious. He's watching mommy bear out of line. But Papa Bear says, I'm not going home with Principal Altmaier. I go back to my cave with Mama Bear. So he ignores her behavior. He ignores that she goes out in the parking lot and spreads gossip and slander to the other people in the school. He doesn't confront his wife. Old passive father is laying around in the bin, and all of a sudden, whack, right across the face, out the door, and it's Mama Bear. And he's shocked. He never got her respect. He was an intimidated man who rejected the call on his life to deal with the issues in his marriage that God called him to deal with. Men, I don't want that to happen to you. It's becoming commonplace. Yes, we're to love our wives, but love is bigger than just giving them everything they want. Love is what's doing what's best for the glory and kingdom of God. And when we look at Titus, guys, you're doing a great job if that's your wife. If it's not, pray for God to give you the strength and power to shape and mold her to that person that God wants her to be. Get her on your team. You need her. When Kathy comes and talks to the wives, my wife is a master at motivating. When I finally would get out of my passivity and wake up and do what God wants me to do, instead of her nagging me, because when a woman nags a man, all that does is say, I ain't doing that any. My wife would say, Matt, it's really neat when you read the Bible to the kids. What did that make me do? Do it more. My wife knows how to motivate me, man. So you're going to talk to your wives how to motivate you and how to step aside and let you lead. Your wife needs to come. She needs to hear this. It will be a great encouragement. But I told my wife, you give those women a worksheet. I don't want them just to come to CTL and hear a sermon, a message, a challenge. I want them to have a project where they will come home to the husband and go, how am I doing respecting you? And men, you will have the opportunity to what? Well, honey, you know, when you say this, it really shows no respect. When you do this in front of the children, it doesn't show respect. You want to know how you can tell how you're doing on leading? I tell men, if you've been faithful to be on this CTL journey, you've been in the Word, you've dealt with moral purity, you're praying with your wife, you've got a word picture, you're telling your wife what you want your marriage to be like. She's looking at a husband going, my husband's changing. But you want to know something? I'm going to tell you something about your wife. For 20 years, you've been passive. And she's saying, oh, he's in CTL. What's going to happen when CTL's over? That's like the alcoholic going home and saying, I'm quitting. You know what your wife says? We'll see a year from now. And a year from now, when that guy has quit, then she begins to believe. So I'm going to tell you how to evaluate how you're doing as a leader. Will your wife come to you with this project? And if she does, man, you ought to be encouraged and saying, you know what? She's wanting me to lead. She's a part of this team, and she wants to talk about this. If she doesn't, then you need to continue to be consistent like you've been on this journey and win her over, and you'll know when she comes to you. So I'm going to challenge you to do everything possible. And hopefully your wife will come to you and say, how can I respect you? And this topic will be covered. Man, we spent more time than normal, but man, this is the mountain that is hard. And some of you are going to need some encouragement. How do I deal with it? Be humble enough to go to another man. Here's my scenario. What do I do? And by grace and God's wisdom, we will fight this battle and win. Amen? God blesses you. Go to your teams.